My name is Mike Elgin, and this is my Food and Technology podcast number 14. My guest this week is food technology entrepreneur Eugenio Minville. Here comes the FatCast. The FatCast is a weekly conversation with visionaries who are making the world a better place. You can find the FatCast online at elgin.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes or from the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening. The only consensus in Silicon Valley about food is that the kitchen is ripe for disruption. So much of our food is unhealthy. People feel like they don't have time to cook, let alone learn to cook. And nearly 40% of the food produced in the United States is wasted. Solutions abound, and these include countertop food processors such as the Revolution Olive Oil Press, to Amazon's Secret Cabinet Project, kind of food-centric Amazon Echo, to the creation of lab-grown meat. One Silicon Valley company called Innit, as in it to win it, is working on an extensible platform that enables the food you buy to provide the kitchen appliances you use with information that streamlines and optimizes the entire cooking process. I spoke to Innit's founder and CEO, Eugenio Minville, about his product and about the future of food. Here's my conversation with Eugenio Minville. Eugenio, welcome to the FatCast.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now tell us about Innit. What is your company, Innit?
Well, Mike, I've been working in the food industry now for 25 years. And I always thought that there was a great opportunity to get better information from food and to empower information to consumers through food. And so Innit is about that opportunity to empower consumers through food information.
Now, you're a startup, and you've been in stealth mode for most of your existence. How long has Innit existed, and what have you been working on during that stealth period?
Well, when you want to empower food information, there's a lot of work to be done in terms of food science, in terms of data science, in terms of understanding how we can actually get that information to be readily available for consumers. And we have been working the last 3 years on and really understanding of how to listen to food, what information we can actually make available from food, how to connect it, and then how to empower consumers through that information.
You talk a lot about giving food a voice. When you say that, I kind of think of the talking orange from YouTube, but I don't think that's what you mean. What do you mean by giving food a voice?
We all have to make very important choices regarding our food. And today in age, the opportunity that we have to improve what information we have readily available is something that will be extraordinary in terms of allowing consumers to improve their eating habits, to improve the opportunity to cook more at home, to improve the opportunity to share meals with a family on a table. And to this point, everyone has been very much centered in connecting things, Internet of Things, to things. But food has been that missing catalyst, which if we understand what information we can extract from food at the right time, it will be extremely valuable for us to make our food choices. So that's the focus of what we mean by listening, is by applying culinary and nutrition science to bridge the gap between food and individual needs.
I see. And you talk about extracting information from food. Of course, it's obvious how this would be done from packaged food. You could probably get that kind of information from the manufacturer. For example, if something comes in a can or a bag or something like that. But what about fresh food? How do you get a tomato to give up its secrets? How do you get fresh produce to inform the Internet of Kitchen things that you're talking about to do the magic that that you guys are working on?
Yes, when you look at fresh food, and that's one of our core elements of development during this past 3 years, and now we're ready to activate it, is really understanding the possibility to take the different elements of that tomato across time and be able to understand from those elements where it is in terms of its life stage. And if we understand better what it is, and if we can apply, as you know, sensors have advanced significantly, different sensing technologies, then to read those signs, you might be recommended to make a gazpacho rather than a salad with that tomato. We want to make sure we focus in very pragmatic solutions that consumers can implement and actually can make their life easier.
Now, I really understand your vision in its outline form, but what is the actual product or service that you are working on? Is it a line of appliances? Is it an integrated kitchen? Is it a cloud platform? What are you actually going to be producing when you go to market?
Well, we want to make sure that we can simplify the consumer experience, meaning make it more convenient for you to take food choices every time. Also make sure that whatever qualitative aspects of taste you can develop in that solution on every day, you can also integrate it. And also, how can that have a positive impact on nutrition? So very concretely, what you will be able to achieve thanks to the init technology that we are applying is you will be able to have access, for example, to what's available information that can be provided today of what you have in your fridge. And based on that, you would be able to have opportunity to share what recipes you could actually prepare tonight. And then what's the easiest way or most convenient way to prepare those. So very concretely, our solution is about responding to one question, which is, Mike, a question that all consumers have every day, what's for dinner? So imagine you have the opportunity to see what's the food inventory that you have in your home, and that you can actually pair that up with convenient recipes which you could prepare, and then recommend how you actually can prepare them. Well, then we will probably be solving for one most important thing, is that simplifying that experience by, in other words, being the GPS for your kitchen.
I see. And you have a test kitchen that has what some have called the self-driving car of ovens. Can you tell us about the oven that you have in your test kitchen or at your headquarters and what it can do?
Yes, well, what we did is we wanted to make sure that the integral cooking experience could be actually made simple. So one of the things that is today a very important challenge for consumers is typing in what type of a product they're going to put in the fridge and trying to manage all that. Actually, only a very little part of the appliances technology that's already in the appliance is used, because it's really complementing the program. So what we've done here is we actually, together with understanding of how to make the chicken talk to the oven. So what we do here basically is that chicken actually programs the rest of the experience, and the chicken programs the oven. So that's what we mean, that it's the food who's generating this initial contact, and then that's what activates the rest of the sequence, Mike.
Now, there are all kinds of amazing technologies coming out of Silicon Valley, and the Silicon Valley venture community is backing a lot of food-related startups. Everything from, you know, the way I tend to look at the spectrum is you have on the one end technologies that are going to make food better, to bring fresher food to consumers and so on. And the other end, technologies that will produce fake food. You know, Soylent is one example. Meat grown in a lab is another example. So many different startups, but some of them appear to be kind of bumping into your space. For example, there's a company called June, which makes an intelligent oven. There's a company called Cetasense, which can sense the CO2 gas, I guess, or something in produce to tell how ripe it is. There's another company called Six Sensor Labs, which can detect gluten. Are these types of companies competitors? Are they potential partners? How do you view these kinds of companies that specialize in hardware that can do sensing?
Yes, those we are about, as we mentioned, about listening, connecting, and empowering the consumer. We connect the dots across the kitchen. Certainly a lot of technologies that are now out there will be a means to also develop, co-develop, and explore different ways to achieve this. Our company, if you want to think of it, is today you have a lot of solutions that are thinking from the appliance perspective, which we think there's tremendous progress that has been done from the appliance perspective. But we come through a different angle. We come through the food perspective. And I think that's where the benefit will eventually develop with consumers and across. So yes, we actually think there is a lot of the technology is developing. We have developed our own business model and platform. So we view ourselves as a platform that will actually activate food to be able to bring more convenience, taste, and nutrition to you. So that's our difference, this platform approach that we have.
Traditionally, in the 20th century, food technology tended to involve modifying the food in one way or another. For example, it could involve preservatives in the food itself and packaging with chemicals in the packaging to preserve food. It involved genetically modifying organisms. It involved, favoring certain crops that made them, you know, lots of crops were selected for the ease with which they could be processed, shipped, and manufactured as opposed to the flavor or nutritional profiles of those foods. In other words, there's been a lot of modification of the food in order to make it something that's lower cost and better for the marketplace, safer on the shelf for longer periods, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that to the kind of technology you're talking about, the sensors that you're talking about in kitchens or you know sensors in containers, will be able to give us a food system that allows the food to be unmodified? In other words, we could select foods for their nutrition or their flavor as opposed to their shelf life, or we could back off on the preservatives and so on if we had sensors that could tell when those foods went spoiled. For example, if milk bottles could tell if the milk contains pathogens, could we safely return to products like raw milk products? What is your view on that in terms of looking at the future of sensor-based food containers and appliances in the home, and in for that matter in the store, in the shipping and the storage and so on?
Certainly, Mike, I fully agree with you in the fact that technology will help us make food choices, and that includes manufacturers on the way they produce today and consumers on the way they're going to use food. If we could have more relevant information real time on the food, we would be able not only to make those choices and say if we are going to reduce food waste. A lot of the food that we use at this moment in time, we actually buy it, keep it, and then sometimes it just goes bad. Indistinctively of what technology we've been, it's been applied to process it. If we can have just better information of how I can actually prepare the food that I have at home tonight, then in line what you are just mentioning, then you know the fact that we will use food more efficiently will give us the opportunity to use food that has shorter expiration dates, and with that maximize the opportunity of having less preservatives. I think that it's very important to focus on having real practical solutions for consumers. Today, the American consumer wastes around $1,500 a year just by throwing out food. So if we can actually focus in leveraging and using that food that we have, it will be much, much more efficient. And one of the problems, Mike, is that most consumers can have in their mindset approximately from 4 to 12 recipes that they can apply and go back to. If we can actually now begin thinking of pairing the information of what you have of your food inventory at home that you have today, and recommend you multiple recipes that actually adapt to your needs, to your personal needs, or to your personally dinner occasion, then we would be actually simplifying a lot of the things that actually are the source of the problem, which is the fact that we don't really know how to maximize that food inventory that you have at home tonight.
What's the interface for something like that? So I know that you can't be completely transparent about exactly what you're working on. You have a lot of trade secrets. I know you're working on a lot of intellectual property. But, okay, you've got this kitchen. You've got things in your kitchen that will tell you, you know, you should make this because if you make this dish, you won't waste the cheese and you won't waste this and that and the other thing. So go ahead and make this dish. Here's the recipe and so on. What is the interface you're thinking about there? Is that this a voice interface or is there a screen somehow? How do you imagine the actual interfacing between the person and this system?
Yes, I think that, let's say, to explain the process where we are in the activation of our solution, we're very fortunate to share that we have made an agreement with Perch, which is a thought leader in the area of appliance retailing. And we will be showcasing together with them how this will be activated or taken to market. And this will be in New York, in their new opening of the Soho store in New York. And more than happy to invite you and go through it, either there or if you want to stop at Redwood City. But very clearly, the experience will be adapted to making sure that the consumer has the opportunity to have access to that information either through its mobile phone, through its tablet, through its computer, through its appliance. It's multiple ways where you will be able to maximize this information. So we also have made and signed now agreements with Good Housekeeping. And then we're signing agreements with other content recipe providers that, so you will be able to not only see, you will be able to pair Good Housekeeping recipes linked to what you have in your inventory. And there will be other partnerships that we will be announcing in May in the opening. But this is to illustrate, Mike, that we are actually working with the industry to activate these solutions, and we're adapting how food can interact with either appliances, with either different pieces of glass, if however those are coming in your way, to make sure that, again, the objective is to bring convenience, to maximize taste, and to also improve nutrition.
And avoid waste. Now, you mentioned that Perch has the showroom that's opening in May in New York City. I can't wait to see that. I would like to visit you guys in Redwood City as well. But what is the time frame for your product to actually go to market? When will I have in my kitchen an oven that will receive instructions from the chicken on how to cook the chicken?
Yes, in that sense, we are working with partners. I cannot disclose at this moment those partnerships. And the time to market will be very much linked to those partnerships that are in discussions now. But I can say that you will probably have something that you can already be experiencing in your kitchen by the end of this year, and then certainly a much more broader commercial launch during 2017.
Now, of course, there's always the threat of giant Silicon Valley and other technology companies coming after your same market. Amazon, according to the Wall Street Journal, is working on something called Cabinet, which I envision, based on the almost zero information that's out there, as a kind of Amazon Echo that has a screen, but also that is optimized for the kitchen. And already the Amazon Echo has a terrible set of recipe-oriented applications. They call them skills. There's one from Campbell Soup that is terrible. It basically just emails you recipes and things like that. It's really got a long way to go. But I imagine that Amazon's working on something. They want to be in this space because they want you to order all your groceries and kitchen supplies from Amazon. And if they are the platform, then they can more easily make that happen. What do you know about Amazon's project Cabinet?
Well, I think at this moment, it's much better for me to focus on the things that that we can bring. And I think that either if it's an Amazon project, cabinet, or all the things that are happening across the Internet of Things, we bring the food equation. So indistinctively of the opportunity that we have with partner with these type of partners down the road, the fact that we will be helping you, Mike, and consumers have better information on the content of the food itself and how that food reflects in raw packet foods and is actually translated into something that could be healthier and more nutrition for you, or just the opportunity to eat at home with the family together. So our angle at this point, as I have mentioned, is basically focusing food. I mean, many people would like to get in this, and I think the catalyst that we have chosen, this equation 1 + 1 = 3 will be, you know, you have Internet of Things, but you have then the food, and I think that's where things will become really relevant in terms of bringing real solutions to consumers.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of theater of the mind and imagine what the world of cooking is going to be like in 10 years. So it's 2026, and you go in and you've got the state-of-the-art everything. You're using the Init system, and you've got partners, appliances, or whatever it is that is the system. 2026, you go into the kitchen, you want to make dinner. Can you walk me through that process? What's that going to be like?
Certainly, Mike. Well, most important at that point is we'll start even before you walk into the kitchen. Right, you make food choices when you decide to leave your office or you're in the supermarket. It's like having opportunity to see what inventory you have at home from a remote distance, and pairing that with your personal needs is going to be really important. So you will know actually from your calendar who you're having dinner tonight with. You will know what are your food preference. You will know what are your family food preferences or the guests that you're having at home, and you will be able to have access to what you actually have already in your home of food inventory, and you might decide to stop over and get one of the ingredients that you were missing. And then you might, when you get home, you will actually have already recommendations of different recipes you might provide. I mean, some of us think of yogurt for breakfast, but you know, yogurt can be a great cooking experience if you actually integrate it into a recipe. We might have completely forgotten what we have in our freezer. And that might be something that we might want to integrate there. So food is complicated, and you know, you're cutting things, you're shaping things. So once you have chosen what to eat, if we can actually, you will be able to guide, have the enjoyable part. You know, it's like, again, like GPS, and you can get in your car, and then you will be able to take roads that you didn't take before. I mean, before GPS, we all kind of stuck to the same road and didn't change and didn't take any risks into going to alternative roads, even when it was packed full. We will be able to give you that confidence. So if you think of yourself in a kitchen with enhanced confidence because you have a GPS device that will sell you opportunities of which options, which recipes, how to prepare them, which one do you want to make quick? Is it a weekend? You want to make it longer? Have you just finished a workout? What can you actually make out of that? Then that's what you will be getting. And then certainly appliances will get much, much smarter. And you know, that's where they will actually self-program themselves to what you have already brought. But the beautiful thing about it, Mike, is that it's not that far. It's not 10, 15 years away. I mean, there's a lot of technology coming in sooner than that. So you see Wi-Fi devices coming into the market. You see a lot of new technologies hitting everywhere else. And now we can leverage that information as it gets into the kitchen. But clearly, if I had to picture it, you will see the chicken talking to the oven. You would see vegetables talking to your refrigerator, and then making sure that you actually can make the best out of that to prepare them with convenience, taste, and nutrition.
So GPS for food and a self-driving oven sounds like a great metaphor for the future of food. Knowing what you're doing, I guess, will be optional. That's a pretty cool future. Now, before I let you go, I want to talk about your upbringing. You're both French and Mexican. I understand you have dual citizenship for France and Mexico. And those are two of the greatest food traditions in the world. What was it like for you growing up in a household that was informed by both French and Mexican food?
It was really flavorful, Mike. As you can imagine, the family is a great central part of the Mexican culture, and I grew in an extraordinary family and with full of flavors and multiple everyday type of experiences of taste, smells, and as most of the food that I had when I was small was centered into a lot of things that could actually be balanced. So my experience in Mexico of eating and growing up has been on a balanced type of meal and a balanced type of diet, which is, it's actually, I brought up with the principle of, it's better to eat a balanced plate and a balanced meal than to focus in one or just another one type of food that would be good for you. But a lot of chili, a lot of great flavors, and actually my family has published a cookbook. So I even have a cookbook of my family recipes, thanks by my mother and my wife, and very proudly the family recipes, Mike.
Plug the book, man. What's it called?
It's called Sabor a Gloria.
All right. That sounds incredible.
The Savor of Glory.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. And I've known actually French people who obsessed with Mexican food. And I know one guy I met years and years ago who went to Mexico and bought kilos of chilies and spices to bring back to France so that he can make the Mexican foods that he loves so much. And one recommendation, if you haven't heard of it, there's a restaurant in Los Angeles called Cafe Midi. And the owner is of Moroccan descent, but he was trained, his food training was in France, and he became, while living in Los Angeles, obsessed with Mexican food. So it's a French-Mexican-Moroccan fusion, and it's also kind of a casual diner, so it's a great place to eat. And it's a very flavorful restaurant, and I really like it. You might want to check that out sometime.
Yeah, I take a note, Mike. I'm sure I'll be going. We're close by here from San Francisco.
Hey, Eugenio, I want to thank you for coming on the FatCast and sharing with us the vision of your company in it. And wish you all the best, and I'm looking forward to seeing more information about your company when it all comes out.
Thank you, Mike, and we look forward to seeing you here in Redwood City, and then if not soon, in Perch in New York.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'd love to hear from you. Email your ideas and feedback to mike@elgin.com. Thanks for listening to my weekly food and technology podcast, and don't forget to share it with your friends. My name is Mike Elgin. There goes the FatCast.